Hello, everyone. I am on my way to China, and so I do apologise that I have to leave the session a little bit early. And someone said, oh, Shadow Europe Minister, why are you going to China? Well, actually, I think it's important to see Europe from the perspective of Beijing, Washington, Paris, Brussels, Berlin, sometimes, because this century is likely to be the Asian century. If last century was the American century, then this century will be the century in which China rises, arguably, if they can keep the economic growth going, and other countries in that part of the world become much, much more important. So what does that mean for Europe, and what does that mean for selling the case for Europe? Well, I think it means that actually the economic case for Europe, even against the background of the Eurozone crisis, which admittedly makes it harder to prosecute that argument, even against that background, the economic case is still the most powerful. Because in a global economy dominated by countries as big as China, India, Brazil, and still the United States, it would simply not make sense for the UK to shrink our domestic market from a market of 500 million consumers to 60 million. And it's still the case that we do more trade with the lander of Northwest Rhinophalia than we do with Brazil, Russia, India and China combined. And Eurosceptics always say to me, yes, but, you know, Europe is in difficulty, so we should forget Europe and we should start concentrating on the emerging economies. And the answer to that is simple. That's a false choice, that the way that we prize open markets and exploit opportunities in those countries is through the collective negotiating weight of the European Union. And once we stop doing that, we find the likes of China and others just picking off individual countries. And it's very convenient for them to do that. So the economic case is still powerful. And even despite the news yesterday about Honda, or perhaps because of the news yesterday that Honda were going to lay people off because the demand from Europe was weakening, it actually demonstrates that the reason that Honda, Nissan, Jaguar Land Rover, who are building a massive engine plant at the outskirts of my constituency, the reason that those global companies are in the UK is because we are a launch pad to the rest of the single market. But the economic case is the most important, I believe. But I think that the case must go beyond that. And I think that we would be hard-pressed to find a challenge that globalisation provokes that we would be better placed to face if we weren't in the European Union. We wouldn't be better placed to face, for example, the challenge of climate change. And actually, the European Union, again, I say despite the Eurozone crisis, has been much more successful in tackling these challenges, these cross-border challenges, these global challenges, than the global-level organisations have been. For example, look at the World Trade Organisation, not exactly the most effective international institution at the moment. The largest single market in Europe we are in, and we are part of. And so look at climate change negotiations at international level, not very successful, yet we have a European emissions trading scheme within the EU. Anyway, I feel like I'm preaching to the converted, but let me try and say something perhaps more interesting and controversial. I think the paradox, and I'll end on this because you've asked us to be brief, I think the paradox of what's happening to the world at the moment and to our country is that the more interconnected the world is, the more the threats of globalisation are real, but also the opportunities. There are some people who feel that they want to pull up the drawbridge, that it would be better not to share power for everybody's interest, but to take power back. There's a real feeling that would be the right thing to do, unfortunately. And that's the challenge that we face, that actually that we're stronger together, that we're stronger pooling our sovereignty with our European neighbours in order to tackle the challenges that we face rather than going it alone. But as Joe has set out, although there might be a larger than we would like percentage of people who would like to leave, there are also quite a large number of people in our country who are undecided. And I think that we together can win the argument that it's in our economic interests, but also in the interests of facing the challenges that we face because of globalization, that we're better in the European Union than we are outside it. But I think the last few days, and Sally said it's only the 12th of January, but I think the last few days have shown that the pro-European argument is starting to become much more prominent. And I'm really pleased to see the likes of Richard Branson, Sir Roger Carr, the president of the CBI, Roland Rudd, a good old friend, making the business case for us staying in the EU. Because, as has already been said, I think politicians aren't always the most popular people around. And actually, if trade unions and business people can make that case, it's going to be incredibly powerful. And I'm really happy that they've started to do that, because it's incredibly important that the pro-European case starts to be much louder than it was, because these Eurosceptics are incredibly loud, although I think they are much more obsessive than the people that they represent. Thank you.